Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way. We thank you that your Holy Presence is here with us in this church at this moment. We thank you that your Holy Presence is throughout the world. We thank you. And now speak for us, Lord God, for we are listening. We need to hear a word from you, a word of love, a word of hope, a word of faith, a word of peace. Speak, Lord God, and take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. And so now today, we kind of know the story, don't we? And my sermon title is Refill My Cup, Lord. Refill My Cup, Lord. The wedding at Canaan, Jesus' first miracle, is recorded in the New Testament in John 2:1-11. We just heard it read. And when Jesus turned water into wine. And because this was Jesus' first public miracle, it is often considered one of the most memorable miracles to many Christians today. A lot of Christians know about the wedding at Canaan, or when Jesus turned water into wine, because John tells us, it's only found in the Gospel of John. No other Gospel speaks about the wedding at Canaan, but John tells us that it is his first of the signs, John says, which is the first miracle. So let me start with this reflection, because that will not be my focus, but we want to talk a little bit about miracles. And this reflection says, Americans show increased belief in miracles. It's titled, this is an older 2012. A 2012 article about Americans believe in miracles summarized the following statistics gathered from recent surveys. 55% of Americans are certain that miracles happen, a 20% increase from 1991. It would be interesting to see now in 2021. 80% believe that miracles certainly or probably occur. 42% of Americans with no religious affiliation believe in miracles. 42% compared to 32% from 20 years ago. And 23% of respondents said they had witnessed a miraculous physical healing. And 16% said they had received a miraculous healing. Amazing, isn't it? 75% of respondents said that they had prayed to God to receive healing from an illness or injury. Nearly 85% had prayed for someone else's healing. The author of the article concluded that the increasing openness to miracles is not being driven by anyone, by any one generation, but it seems to be more a cultural shift. There's still a profound interest in spiritual things. That there's still a profound interest, and as I said, it would be good, this was in Christianity Today, it would be good to see a research now in 2021 about spiritual things and miracles. How to define a miracle? What is a miracle? Webster Dictionary defines a miracle as an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. C.S. Lewis once explained that a miracle is something unique that breaks a pattern so expected and established we hardly consider the possibility that it can be, that it could be broken. That it could be broken, we cannot imagine that. And so we have heard the story. We have heard the story of Jesus at the wedding. I just told the children, and we heard it read, and what happened there. But there is one thing I wanted to lift up today, which I don't want to speak of Jesus' miracles and give you account of all his miracles in all the Gospels and all of that. I want to come from another place. I want to use something else here for us. It says in the Gospel that Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And so one can draw from that scripture that the jars were empty. Right? We read that the jars were empty. They had run out of wine. And Jesus says, "Fill the jars with water." And they were obedient because they filled them up to the brim. And then we know that the miracle happened. Today I want to talk about us, our jars, our vessels that are empty, our vessels now that are broken, you see. Today I would like to submit to you that Jesus can fill us up again. We have been living in a time of great stress, tension, and conflict. I'm leaving some folks anxious and even depressed. These 2 years of the COVID virus, along with our all the other things, conflicts and arguments and hate that is going on in our nation and discord, has left many of us distressed, weary. And our vessels, our jars, which are vessels, our cups, are empty or dry. Because we are overwhelmed. Our souls are empty. And I want to propose to you that Jesus doesn't just fill earthen vessels, but Jesus fills the human soul. Right? Jesus doesn't, that miracle shows us that he filled an earthen vessel, but I am interpreting it as this story to remind us in that one scripture that Jesus is the same miracle worker that can fill a human soul. What is a soul? The soul is a spiritual part of a person that is believed to give life to the body. And in many religions, it's believed to give life forever. Certainly in Christianity, the soul is believed to give life forever, our soul. That thing in our bodies that doctors cannot see, right? Our soul. You see, we can get on a diet, take up exercise, spend less money, spend more money in the new year, but we cannot fill our souls. Only Jesus, the miracle worker, can fill our soul. Next slide, please. The songwriter says, is my slide coming up? The songwriter says, "Fill my cup, Lord, fill it up. Come and quench this thirst in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more." And that image of that cup and the pouring is an image of Jesus that pouring what we need, that sustenance, into our soul. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Come and quench this thirst in my soul. Amen? That we need to have this thirst in our soul quenched because our souls are weary and our souls need filling. And so here we come, friends. And we come to this story now, and my point that I am going to make. As you look at this slide, it says, life is a cup to be filled, not drained. Life is a cup to be filled, not drained. And don't we feel drained at times? My Lord, I tell you, Susan knows this, I was going on a little trip on the 20th, and I was looking forward to going because I absolutely feel drained. Like, there are many pastors now, there are pastors who have left their positions, not only because of our church work, we have done funerals, open funerals, and things like that. Even in the community, when the funeral home calls you, and items like that, you go. And this week alone, I did two funerals and was called for a third. And I finally said to the funeral director, I cannot go. I just don't want to do another one yet. It wasn't not a member of our church, but there are times you just feel weary, friends. Your soul is weary. We're all weary because we have all been going through. And we truly want Jesus to fill us, to fill our cups. And so the first point I want to make is, out of that cup you see love, hope, and faith. Amen? And I'm going to start with love. Because we want to be reminded that the Lord loves us. Amen? And Jesus says here, in this text, the song says, I was sinking deep in sin. Next slide, please. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Amen? Amen? And that is the love of Jesus Christ. When we're feeling weak and weary, we want our cup to be refilled with the love of Jesus Christ. Because sometimes in the midst when we're drained, we forget that Jesus loves us. And I want to talk about briefly four types of love. Right? Four types of love that we know about, that we are all sometimes missing. And the first one is storge. It is Greek, storge. It's empathy, an empathy bond, a love of a parent for children and a love of children for parent. Right? Storge. Some of us are even missing that now. Right? We're missing that in our lives. We're missing that. Then there is philia. Philia is friend bond. It's a love between friends. Philia. Right? That we have even been missing now because we can't see each other. How many of you have not seen a friend in the longest while because what? Of COVID. You're missing that connection. Even if you talk on the phone or you see them on Zoom, you're missing that connection. Just to touch them, just to hold on to them, just to go have something to eat. I'm missing going out to eat with my clergy friends. That we used to go once a month and we talk about our own stuff and we connect with each other. Missing that. And then there's eros, which is romantic love. Romantic love, which husband and wife and so on have. And I hope those are all intact. But you said a lot of, because of the tension, even that kind of love has been impacted. And then the final one is agape. Agape is unconditional love. Only God can give you agape. And now we remember 3:16, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, may not perish, but may have eternal life. Amen? So even if we're missing all the other love that we do not have, there's one love we will have during the quarantine, in the quarantine, outside of quarantine, is that agape love. That unconditional love from God, that we can call out to God, call out to Jesus, and he will fill our cup again. Amen? He will refill us with his agape love. Because it's unconditional. It is based on no condition. We don't have to do anything to get it. It is agape. Amen? And the next thing in that cup, next slide, is hope. Hope. We need hope so badly. In these times, we need an emotional reservoir of hope. The psalmist says, "Why are you downcast? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God." That we must have our hope in God, not our hope in human beings. And so my points are, hope is the foundational to faith. It is the foundational to faith. Without hope, without the love of God and the hope in God, there is no faith. Number two, hope demonstrates trust in God forever. We're trusting in God to turn it around. Hope is not a fleeting feeling. Number three, it is not fleeting. It lasts, but it could only last when you're connected to your Savior and when your cup is full. Hope isn't a gamble, because that hope comes from God. And hope is a gift from God. And when we feel hopeless, we need to cry out to God again, "Fill my cup. Fill it up, Lord. Fill it, because I need hope. I know I have your love, but I need hope." And the next thing in that cup is faith. Scripture tells us in Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So faith is the assurance that we are hoping that God is going to work it out, and the conviction that he's going to do it, the conviction of the things we don't see. Friends, I have the assurance that I'm hoping that this COVID will be gone. I haven't seen it yet, but I am convicted. I am convicted that the Lord is going to what? Move this COVID away out of our lives. And I believe, God, that it's going to be done this year. And I'm trusting in God because I have the faith. Now, there are types of faith. And my faith is not a blind faith, because I've trusted in God and I've seen God work. I've seen this miracle worker work, and I trust him now. I trust him then, and I trust him now. And I trust him now. Blind faith. There are types of faith. Blind faith is faith. Faith is a blind leap into the dark. When you have blind faith, is a blind leap into the dark. When you have faith in someone who cannot work out your circumstances. The next one is irrational faith. Faith as an irrational leap, that there's no rationale for your faith. You don't know why you're believing. They tell you this thing on TV, that if you put a little thing on your face, all the wrinkles are going to gone. It's irrational. You know, you ever seen it. And they show you one side of the face and the next side of the face and says, you know, you're 65 now, but if you put it on, you're going to be 20. And you spend your $90 and you purchase it. Irrational faith. And you keep putting it on your face and you still look like 65. Frankly, you start looking like 70. Irrational faith. Do you see what I'm saying? No reason. That's irrational faith. Warranted faith. Now, faith as a step according to evidence. Now, there's warranted faith that we have seen in our communities now. That if we wear the mask, it helps, not 100%, but it helps us from what? Spreading the virus. Warranted faith, because the science have proven it. Now, I'm not a scientist, you know, but I've got a brain and I could think, you know, and I would imagine that they tell you to put your mask on and because it would help. And so since I have no better proof and I'm not going into a lab to prove them wrong, I'm wearing my mask when necessary. And then there's biblical faith. Warranted faith brought about by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives within us, that tell us God is going to work it out. Yes, he is. God will work it out. Yes, he will. right? That the Holy Spirit tells us he's going to heal your body. Have you ever prayed for someone and they came through? And friends, even when we pray for someone and the Lord takes them home, that doesn't mean that he didn't answer our prayers. It just means that it is their time. Because life and death is in the hands of God. We are called to pray and have faith to believe that God will heal them, and God will heal them according to their will. The Holy Spirit put that in our heart. And then when we have called out to Jesus to fill our cups, right, then we will fill our own cups. We can fill our own cups with kindness, love, understanding, hope, peace, and gratitude. We can begin to be better persons because now the Lord has filled our cups, and then we can begin to show kindness to the next person. You know, some of those folks who are carrying on so badly on outside and on the street and fighting, it's because their cups are empty. They're drained, right? There is no life in them. They become so angry because they're taking out their life's disappointment and their anger on other people because they will not call on Jesus. They will not stop and say, they say they're Christians, but they hate the next person, right? They hate the next person right next to them that they don't even know and intend to kill them. A young man walks into a store. It was a food store. I don't know if it was Burger King or one of those. And I asked a young lady for the money, and she gave him everything out of the drawer. And then he took a gun and shoot and kill her. That's a bankrupt soul that is now taken over by evil. But Christian believers, we shouldn't be that way, right? We should show love and kindness. Because Apostle Paul tells us that there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but the same God, who activates all of them in everyone. God activates all of these gifts, gift of kindness, gift of understanding, a gift of gratitude. God activates them in all of us. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. Amen? There's a spirit of the utterance of wisdom. And there's a spirit of knowledge. And there's a spirit of healing. Right? And to other, the spirit of what? Working miracles. This is another, the spirit of prophecy. And then there's a spirit of discernment. Right? All manifested through the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Right? All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. Amen? Amen. So Christian believers, when we're feeling so weary and we are acting out, get down on our knees and ask God to fill our cup. Refill it, Lord. Come and quench this thirst. My soul is thirsty in my soul. Oh, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Amen? And because, as Paul says, the purpose of the church is to manifest to the world the character of God. The purpose of every Christian believer is to manifest to the world the character of God. And friends, as I close, none of us have to do it all. You or I don't have to do it all. God does not require that each individual should have a capacity for everything. We need to delegate and share and come together as a community and share. And my last point, God desires diversity. The idea that success is measuring up to someone else's standard is a lie. God needs a diverse people. People who are diverse in their gifts, diverse in their talents, that can come together and glorify God. Amen. So together on this first month in January, if you're feeling weary, weary on your job, weary in your home, you know, I live alone, so my weariness would come from something else. But even though I live alone at my home, my weariness sometimes come over the phone because, you know, they find you and call you. I mean, the family members, they call up. And they call with their problems. But the good news is you could say, I'll talk to you later. And then you forget the later. You know what I'm saying? But when you're living right in your house, when you're living together and you're weary, you got to find a little corner for yourself. You got to get up and find your Bible, find a scripture, or find a song. And a song like this, oh Lord, I need you, just fill me up. I need you, Lord God. I need you now. Fill my soul, Lord. Fill my soul. And as I was going to tell the story that I was going to go somewhere with Susan and her husband, and they're still going. And then they said COVID is increasing. And my soul was getting so happy because I was speaking to my soul, you know, we're going to go away on this little cruise and we're gonna be sitting there and we're not even going to the islands. We're just going to lay there and sleep all day with a book and read. And my soul was getting happy, and then my soul had to get disappointed because I'm not going, you know, because certain different things in the bishop wants us to kind of be, I'll have to go later. But my weary soul was getting excited, right? This is what happens. We all need it. We all need it, you know. So thanks be to God that this is going to go away because God is faithful. But in the meantime, when I was getting more weary because I couldn't go, I had to get down on my knees and says, Lord, fill me up, please, and give me the strength to continue. And the same Lord that is available to me, Paul just says it, is the same Lord available to all of us. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Same Spirit, same Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen.